welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. It is officially horror month here. I am Epic Film Guy Nick, and Justin's not here again for the kickoff of another horror night. Justin, what do you have to say for yourself?
Daddy's going to spank you with the belt now.
I don't want to hear it about your damn belt. We got a little bit of an interesting show set up for you here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But I am not alone. I am joined by a huge horror fan in his own right. Highly recommended by our very own director slash executive producer, Brennick. We're joined by Sean of the Stories of Your and Yours podcast. Sean, how the hell are you?
Good evening. I'm well. How you doing, Nick?
Good evening.
It is October. You got to break that out every now and then, you know?
We are here to talk about all things creepy, terrifying, horrifying. But we're also here to talk about the end of the EFG Fitness Challenge, the beginning of our fourth annual EFG 31-Day Horror Challenge. So much more. We've already got like 7 or 8 people already hit the ground running. Some people are 2, maybe 3 films in. It's insane. Some people get into October and just like it flips in their brain and they just go. So are you that kind of horror fan? Are you that kind of person, especially during October, you're like, you've got to have a horror movie on every night, or 2 horror movies or 3 or 5 or 10?
Yeah, pretty much. If I had the time to do 2 or 3, I would totally do it. But I've been ramping up since probably the end of August to get my horror on. So I'm ready to roll.
Man. Of course, all eyes are on Halloween. Not Halloween. The holiday, but the sequel, 40 years in the making. Thank you all very, very much. If you're just tuning into the show for the first time, or you're just checking it out after you checked out our interview with James Jude Courtney, thank you very much. It's great to have you here, and what a great interview that was. I can't say enough good things about Justin doing the interview and about how awesome James was with all of his answers to the questions. Some really in-depth stuff. Did you get a chance to check that out?
I haven't yet. It's in the queue.
It's so insightful. It's really nice to kind of hear him talk about how he gets into the character, and like he talks about the story of when he first put the Michael Myers mask on the set.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Really, really enjoyable. But yeah, thank you all very, very much out there for listening. Before we get any further, though, I want to jump over to Sean, and I want you to tell us for just a moment. Just tell us what your show is all about, because you don't necessarily do a movie podcast. You do a story podcast.
I do. So yeah, my show is called Stories of Your and Yours. And what I do there is I narrate classic and original short stories, and I add music and sound effects to those. So like I've done shows with Edgar Allan Poe or Mark Twain, you know, and everything in between. And this week, or this month really, we're doing horror all month. So I've been looking forward to that. This Wednesday I've got an H.P. Lovecraft episode coming where I do 5 pieces by H.P. Lovecraft. 2 poems and 3 stories, and it's a lot of fun. And we talk about, at the beginning of every show, I always give an intro on the author, kind of introduce, you know, what their deal is. And H.P. Lovecraft is he's a super interesting guy. And of course, we had to talk about the horribly racist elephant in the room. So we did that as well. But yeah, the show.
before we get any further, just where can we find you on the web if anybody wants to check out your show, which please do. I haven't gotten a chance to check it out yet, unfortunately, because you replied to the message and I was just like, what? And then Dan was like, oh yeah, I just had him on the show. So I messaged Dan. I'm like, how'd your episode go? Because your Netflix and Soul drops tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, how did it go? He's like, he's awesome. He's awesome. Get him in. So yeah, that was what it did. So big ups to Dan.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. So anyway, like to answer your question, you can find my show at SYYpodcast.libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com. Or the easiest thing is probably just to find me on social media, any of the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at SYYpodcast. And you can see previews of the shows there. I drop them every Wednesday, and there's a preview pinned to the top of my profile every week, and you can check that out.
Well, thank you very, very much for being here, for filling in for Justin. So I mentioned before, we've got something of an interesting show for you this evening. Loisos is attending Hollywood premieres, which we were pretty sure he was never coming home. We were just going to get chained to a radiator at Tommy Wiseau's house or something like that. And then Justin's off attending like huge events. And where am I? Here. But
I'm here with
it. Gives me the opportunity to talk to Sean, who, I mean, again, I have never heard your show before, so I'm really, really excited to check it out. I actually subscribed to it a little while ago before we started and threw a few of your most recent episodes into my playlist that I have on my Podcast Addict that I randomize.
Nice.
So I can't wait to check that out. I know you come highly recommended from Dan, so I am super, super excited to check that out. But thank you very, very much for being here, especially on such short notice, because I think I told you like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted the tweet earlier this afternoon. I was like, hey, I need co-hosts. And then a few different people responded. Some people that I want to get on other shows and do other different things with. But then I saw your response and I was like, done.
No, I appreciate it, man. I'm excited. I'm making my film podcast debut this week twice over. So it's exciting for me.
I mean, Netflix and Swill was born as just a shitty parody of this show, so it's technically just the same show. Well, speaking of being a cheap parody of us, we're going to go over into a time-honored segment here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. I, of course, am talking about What Are You Drinking?
I'm back! Puke and Rally! Woo! Give me a beer!
Now, I hear tell from director Brennick that you are actually not a drinker.
I am not. So I'm drinking straight water tonight. Hydrating. Got to keep the old pipes lubed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Loisos, what say you?
That's a lot of cum.
Yes, it is. So I actually took the opportunity to head over to a local brewery after I went to work, because I had to work over the weekend. I had to work on Saturday. And I just wanted to run up there and just see what they had. And I grabbed a couple of crawlers of different things. Justin would actually really, really enjoy this beer. So it's even better that he's not here, because I get to talk about it without him being here. I'm having Beer Tree Brewing Company's Dream Forest New England IPA. First of all, this shit looks straight up like grapefruit juice.
It really
does. Legitimately, like, it's grapefruit juice, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice light hop aroma. And a nice light hop flavor up front, and then it just kind of yields into this full-bodied, juicy
mouthfeel.
And it's just really, really enjoyable. Something in the neighborhood, yeah. 7.1% alcohol by volume. Really, really enjoyable. The sad thing about this is Justin will never get to try it, because it won't be on tap by the time he ever comes up here again.
You know, that's what you get when you slack off and go to big premieres.
Bastard.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is really, really enjoyable. But just a few little pieces of business that we have to wrap up here. So, Sean, you'll have to indulge me for a moment, because you decided to guest on the show when we had a ton of housekeeping to do.
I love housekeeping.
First of all, thank you. A huge, huge shout out to everyone that participated in the EFG Fitness Challenge. I'm going to be choosing prize winners sometime this week. I haven't exactly decided, but over 800 miles, like 827 miles cumulatively by the community, was what we did. And since I'm watching a movie for every 50 miles, 16 movies I now have to watch, thanks to all the miles that have been accumulated by the community, which is insane, which is insane.
Yeah. You may have overpromised there.
Yeah. I initially started at 10, and then I was like, oh my God, 10 is insane. And then I did 25, but then like the first day there was like 50 miles. I was like, oh my God. So then I bumped it up to 50 because it was, I didn't do it right in terms of tracking miles and things like that. It was just crazy how the whole thing got kind of put together. But thank you very much, everybody, for joining in on the event. We've got a ton of prizes to give away for it yet. I'll be worrying about that a little bit later, because we also have to talk about the Epic Film Guys 31 Day Horror Challenge.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for your 2018 Horror Challenge weekly check-in. Head over to the Epic Film Guys Facebook group to check in your movie picks. Think you can scare up the courage to watch 15 horror films? Pleasant screams.
Hang him! Kill him! Hang him! Hit him!
Yeah, I probably will end up watching Haunted Ween. But there are, as usual, two tiers to the horror challenge. If you're like me, if you are the layperson, I can watch horror sometimes, but I'm A, too busy, or B, don't care. Mostly B, sometimes A. You have to watch 15 movies. Just pick 15 movies and watch them for the month. Doesn't matter if you've seen them or not, whatever. Get them in, watch them, and check in over in the Hopester's Dumpster, the official Facebook fan group. The link is down in the show notes. Go find that. Or, if you're Justin, if you can't go a night without putting in two or three different schlocky pieces of shit, do it. Do it 31 days. Watch a horror movie, at least a horror movie a day. And we had a bunch of people last year that absolutely obliterated it. Like, they fit it in 31 movies by, like, the 10th.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't
you people have jobs?
They do. That's a scary thing.
I know.
Scary horror. But it's, like, literally, that's, like, they'll just put them on and watch them no matter what else they're doing. They've got a horror movie playing in the background. I, unfortunately, can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't passively watch movies unless I've seen them before. And then yeah. I can, but, yeah. We're going to be talking a little bit later on in the month about different prizes and things like that that you can win. We're going to be giving away another copy of Emily's book, The Story Behind. That's going to be one of the prizes that you can get as part of the horror challenge. So thank you all very, very much. Everybody that's already checking in movies, get involved, get over to the Facebook listener community and start checking in those picks. You'll be entered to win a bunch of prizes and all the proceeds. We've got a kick-ass new shirt up on Redbubble with a great logo that Justin designed with his skull, and it's got like a bat logo on it for some reason and pumpkin eyes and all sorts of stuff. It's really, really cool. All the proceeds for the shirts that we sell all month long are going to be donated to Second Chances Wildlife Center. They rescue animals, wild animals and stuff like that that can't be reintegrated or are injured or need help reintegrating, whatever. And if they can't be reintegrated, they give them a home there at the center. And it's really, really cool. I was actually reading about it a little bit earlier. Justin actually chose that. So all proceeds for all the shirts all month long, that's what they're going for. So it's really, really awesome. Help out some little critters and wear just a kick-ass design on your chest. And lastly, so ladies and gentlemen, last week we had the absolute pleasure of going on to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews with our good friends, our brothers down in Perth, Paul and Wayne. And we faced off over the top 10 raunchy teen comedies of all time. And as of the time that Paul recorded, we unfortunately lost the vote barely. We still learned that. We barely lost the vote. It was neck and neck literally the entire week while they were voting. I'm on the Countdowns listener community right now, and the vote is actually tied. So somebody like got in there with the last minute vote. We were winning earlier. I think Wayne switched his vote over to our side to give us a pity vote to make us feel better. I'm not sure. Regardless, our hat is off. Although I asked Paul, and Sean, you can weigh in on this, but I asked Paul, I said, we were the only list with Animal House on it of raunchy teen comedies.
It's like the original, right?
Yeah. We were the only team with a person who fucked an actual pie. And we still lost.
I don't see how that's possible. It's got to be rigged.
It's got to be rigged. That's what I think. So I asked Paul if we had to start blowing his listeners.
It's obviously the secret sauce.
God damn it. But yeah, it was... You know what? It was such a blast being on the show. We love those guys. We've known them for years now, just years, tons of amazing crossovers. And that was just another, I mean, literally, you never know. You just never know what's going to happen. And then Justin tells a story about fucking a pie. Go listen to the Countdown that we guested on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't listened to it yet, you should have, because it is, I couldn't breathe for like 3 solid minutes. I was laughing so hard.
See, now I have to go back and get that one. I hadn't heard it yet. I have to go back and get it now.
Yeah, it is mind-blowing. Just, I can't even.
I didn't realize that was an actual thing.
Apparently. Listen, I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, what else can you say about it, really, at this point?
Slashers. They're one of my favorite types of horror movies. And with David Gordon Green's Halloween set to hit theaters later this month, studios are attempting to once again revitalize a once profitable and lucrative type of subgenre that audiences used to go out in droves to see at their local cinemas. This year already, we've had great examples of new films attempting to bring back the slasher with true nostalgic 80s flair, with The Strangers, Prey at Night, partly Summer of 84, and the brutal, mean-spirited 80s throwback that spawned a new horror icon with Art the Clown, Terrifier. Hellfest, while not something that's going to reinvent the wheel, is an acceptable addition to that list of movies. The film follows a group of friends while they attend a yearly Halloween haunt at a local amusement park to, well, throw back a few drinks, make out, and get scared shitless. Now, you know, it's the things teenagers and early 20-somethings like to do. It's something that most of us horror fans can relate to and like to enjoy ourselves every October season. Strangely enough, I had just gone to a haunt with a group of friends that same exact weekend that I saw the movie, and I began comparing the movie and my own personal experience at the haunt upon my arrival, maybe looking over my shoulder a little bit too much. Our main characters in the film get into the park, and there's an immediate mention of a rumor about a girl being gutted and left to rot at another local haunt a few years back. And then, something just isn't right, and surprise, our characters start to get stalked and picked off one by one by a nameless masked killer. As the sauce always likes to say, hijinks ensue. The opening kill in the film is one that immediately lets you know that this movie is made for slasher fans to sit back, relax, and have a good time with, and does not pull any punches. The group of characters, led mainly by Amy Forsyth, who plays Natalie, are all likable enough in the film, yet not so attachable and fully developed to the point when things start to get bloody that you really care all that much if they live or die. However, I really did admire the character of Taylor, played spunkily by B. Taylor Kloss, who is by far one of the best things about MTV's Scream TV series. We have the basics, ladies and gentlemen, of any slasher picture with Hellfest. Good-looking kids, trying to have a good time, hook up, maybe get drunk, but end up being terrorized and slaughtered instead. And in the end, Hellfest delivers the goods. I felt invested enough and truly transported to the amusement park atmosphere, which is done extremely well in the film and is a really fun and creative setting for a slasher. Almost brought back a few memories of Toby Hooper's The Funhouse for me. The use of color and atmosphere within the haunts themselves, and of course the shadow, just added more to the scares and suspense. I mean, just imagine yourself being stalked in a haunted house by a real killer. This shit's scary. Also, I just love the idea of being stalked at a haunted attraction, because you're there to be scared in the first place, which adds more leniency to that suspension of disbelief, especially when authority figures question the teens when they claim they're being stalked by a real killer. It gives the killer an easy way to blend in and almost hide in plain sight, and it makes for great stalking and slashing. For those interested, I just gotta let you know right off the bat, I know those of you that have seen the trailer, like, hey, Tony Todd, the Candyman's in this. Well, guess what? The Candyman is in this, Tony Todd is in the movie, but you'll be disappointed because it's only for about 2 seconds of screen time. Yeah, that's right. It's a small cameo. I know it sucks. I was disappointed. One issue I have with Hellfest. Well, to be honest with you, it's probably one of the only issues I had with Hellfest is the goddamn mask the killer wears. I know this movie had a good costume designer. I know this movie had a great production designer because of the rest of the film shows it. So why? Please tell me, why does the killer have to be a dude wearing normal street clothes with his hood up wearing a fugly-ass mask? It's literally the most generic mask I think they could have come up with. Like the characters say in the film, you're not scaring me when they see the killer in the mask. It was an instant reminder to me of all the Michael Myers mask ripoffs we've seen in lesser movies. It holds it back from letting that killer be a true horror icon. Outside of that, however, gonna be honest, the killer is pretty memorable. The kills, while they're being a few on the tamer side, are absolutely brutal. Two of my favorites involved a giant prop mallet and a cool homage to Halloween 2 with a neat syringe kill. Real, practical gags and effects here, people. The kills all featured practical work, which is a true love letter to the films we all grew up with in the 80s and still fawn over to this day. It's unfortunate to me that the marketing campaign and trailers for this film sold a different type of movie to filmgoers because no one really went to see this. I was sitting alone at a 9 o'clock showing at my local theater in a completely empty theater. Literally no one else in there. Just myself sitting there with a beer in a totally empty theater. These are the movies that need horror fans to give a chance to. These movies rely on us to pay to see them so we can see more of the same. It's a shame more people didn't take the chance because I had one hell of a time at Hellfest. The director, Gregory Plotkin, was an editor on Get Out and Happy Death Day, and his talent showed through on this one. Hellfest gets a 7 out of 10 rating.
This week in epic film history.
Are we going to go back to thinking about possibly reviewing beers again and
we
wines?
Should. We should. We need to talk more about beer in these podcasts because we both drink when we do them. At least I actually, this is the first time I've drank in a podcast in the past like 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, so I'll ask you.
I've been feeling so under the weather.
What are you drinking?
I don't drink beer often. You've really helped me understand the whole concept of mouthfeel, because the first time I heard you say that, I was like, what the fuck is that? And now I understand. It's like when you're savoring a glass of wine and you're counting the legs and the sweetness and the body. I'm like, oh, that's mouthfeel, because of course I thought it meant sucking dick, but clearly it doesn't. But I
do
like
dick last night.
That's right,
Justin.
Baby.
The Shallows. 2 out of 10. Fuck that movie.
You
that
suck.
Movie was so.
You know what, Nick? I'm gonna make
so
you go
bad.
To the beach. I'm making you go to the beach. I'm gonna invite you to the beach next year. I'm gonna make sure there's a beach where the great whites like to hang out at during the summer.
You know
it
why this movie sucked? You know why this movie?
No,
sucked?
I don't, because it didn't suck. It was awesome
from the beginning. Unbelievably beautiful, and I got this on Blu-ray, so I got to watch it in crisp, beautiful 1080p.
It's one of the best shot films
super
of
HD.
The year.
It's so beautifully shot, and then they fucking ruin it by throwing fucking pop-up windows of fucking cell phone calls and text messages
I get
over
that.
The screen
I get that.
All
I get
the
that,
fucking
Nick.
Time.
I totally get that. I totally
oh,
get that. You know,
made me
what?
Sick.
For even people that like the film, I get that. I
Ugh.
Get that problem with it. I understand that. Let's leave the Shallows.
Blake Lively was hot though.
It's a great movie.
Shut
yeah,
up.
But yeah, so.
And then they were like, here's Costas Mandalore. Everyone love him. And it was like, oh my God.
I know, right? Like, where'd they dig him? What bar did they dig him out of? I hadn't seen him in forever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't even remember that dude.
After Saw 7, they just very promptly put him back there and forgot about him. They like locked the door and they were like, okay, now you're staying in here forever. God, I hated Costas Mandalore in this movie. Good Lord, his line delivery was always terrible. I'm John Kramer's assistant. God. You know who they could have gotten to do the role of Costas Mandalore or whatever?
Anybody
Detective
else?
Hoffman. They could have.
Hi, doggy.
They could have gotten Tommy Wiseau to do it. I'm sure he would have been available for it. Don't laugh at me, Tommy. People are fucking assholes. People are assholes. People are sick. People are twisted, disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate people.
And then somebody's going to do a podcast about them in like, you know, 50 years called Twisted Vegas or something.
It won't be me. Be somebody stealing my shit. That will not be me.
Oh my God. Let's see. That'll be like you'll brand out and you'll like franchise out Twisted franchises to every major city and everything. So then you'll just be like the CEO of Twisted Incorporated. Actually, I think that's already a thing.
I'll wind up on Undercover Boss.
There you go. Where you'll just
checking
have
on my franchisees.
Somebody in every city where you'll be like, all right, I need somebody who's from LA. I need somebody who's from. You'll get like weird places too, like Portland, Oregon or something. I
Twisted
don't even know.
Des Moines.
Twisted Des Moines. Well, I've got another story about corn today.
I I do love that every news outlet like jumped on it like it was the biggest news. It was like the news of the day. It's either A, a really
we
slow
know why.
Movie news season, or B, it's just like everything Batman Superman is such like it gets so many fucking page hits. It gets so much attention, no matter what it is. Like you could post tomorrow, like the third day on set, Henry Cavill ate a bad burrito and fucking shit his brains out. Take a picture of the inside of the porta potty, fucking all destroyed, and there's shit splashed on the wall in the shape of an S shield, and people would post it online like it's a picture of like Jesus on a toast or something. Like I'm telling you, like everything about this movie is like the biggest news ever. Oh my god, it's rated PG-13. Who didn't fucking know that?
I will always have a soft spot I will have a soft spot in my heart. I will always have a soft
spot. Is a spart like a shart?
God damn it.
I'm sorry, I had to. I'm sorry.
Dan, shut up. I think we're getting another remote from Justin. He finished on the Warner Brothers lot. And now, Justin, are you there?
I sucked a dick last night.
Is that the same dick or is this a different dick?
I mean, it's Justin, so I got to imagine it's a different one.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, two epic film guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
The real reason that you're here, the real and true reason, and it's not to shit all over Venom, which we already did over in the patron-only segment.
We did.
The real reason that you're here is because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trailers. Seven trailers. And what I'm actually going to do, because we've got so many trailers here to dissect, I actually want to pitch it over to you and ask you which one of these trailers was your favorite. Which one of these do you want to talk about first?
Creed 2.
Yeah. Okay. Stole my thunder because 100%. And even there's a trailer about an Orson Welles documentary in here, and I'm still more excited for Creed 2. Yeah. Well, we got to get into this.
Yeah.
If we don't do what we'd love, then we wouldn't exist.
Time, kid.
Michael B. Jordan is such... He's such a fantastic screen presence, and I want to fuck him. God, he's
so looks
cut.
Incredible. He looks incredible.
Amazing. Really
matters to him right yeah. Now. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say at this point? I mean, the man, you know, from a kid on The Wire to now, I mean, he's been awesome in everything, and, I mean, this is going to be... This is going to be, how can it possibly be bad? It's going to be great. I mean, the first Creed was awesome.
Yeah. Incredible film. And thank God Justin's not here because every time he is, he's got to remind us that he's in the Creed 2 or he's going to be in Creed 2 whenever it comes out. He and Jay from the Super Movie Brothers, we're actually going to be on the Super Movie Brothers podcast to review Creed 2 because... Jay and Justin both met on the set. They were both there. Justin talked about it back when he did it. Met Sylvester Stallone, met Tessa Thompson, met Michael B. Jordan.
Oh,
got
man.
A bunch of shit signed and everything. Just insane. Just absolutely insane. So,
well, he can't even be impartial at this point.
No.
I don't think he should be able to review it.
I don't think I necessarily am either. This film, the trailers for this film have been absolutely knock out of the park incredible.
I feel like I've already seen like mini movies at this point. I mean, that's what trailers are supposed to be, but this is like, they just destroyed this trailer. They nailed it.
I think the best thing that Creed does, the original film, is at its heart, it's a sports movie, it's a boxing movie, etc. But at its heart, it's a character drama. It's a very, very big character drama. And I think what it can do well is to continue that character drama into this film. And you know what? I would love to see, and we haven't seen any of it, and I don't really think the film's going to focus on it necessarily, but I think it would be really, really good to get some interaction between Rocky and Drago.
Yeah.
For some reason, I misplaced his name in my head for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they almost have to, right? I mean, they would have to. You could see him face to face in the trailer at one point. I mean, you know, yeah. there's got to be something there.
Yeah, it's just everything about this movie just looks absolutely incredible. And it's crazy to think that this franchise has continued on for this long and still managed to put out this kind of quality.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, when you look at it, and you I think you hit it on the head with the first one being a character drama, and that was Rocky, you know, the first Rocky was a character study. And really even the second one to a certain extent, I mean, they kind of veered into comic book territory after that, but, which, you know, hey, I got nothing against that. The training montages, the Rocky 3 and 4 were worth it for the training montages alone. So, you know, I have no problem with those things. But yeah, the best of the movies in this franchise have been character studies with, you know, good action. And I'm anticipating more of the same from this one.
Now, this absolutely looks fantastic. So I want to move on from this to another trailer that has me absolutely just... I can't believe how hard my dick is getting for a film in the Transformers franchise. And I loved the first trailer. I really, really did. But I didn't know where they were going to necessarily go with this film.
Yeah.
But now we're learning in the second trailer, this is going to be full blown, like, Transformers prequel, not just a Bumblebee prequel, full blown Transformers prequel. We're going to get to see War on Cybertron. We get to see, like, you get to see, like, old school fucking Optimus Prime and, like, Soundwave and shit. What?
I'm Charlie Watson. I'm 18. Today, actually. Is the Beetle for sale?
It's yours, kid. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when I first heard about this movie, I'm thinking, oh, you know, spinoff, you know, it's going to be like, you know, I don't know, a Mater spinoff on Cars, you know, to keep it machine going. But you're right. This looks like they're focusing on Bumblebee, but also branching off into the mythos of the prequel to Transformers, which is pretty slick. I mean, and plus they've got, I mean, I like Haley Steinfeld too. So that's, some good stuff going on here.
If anybody can carry this film, she really, really can. And John fucking Cena's in this movie.
The thing is with John Cena, you want to hate him. You want to hate him, but he's pretty good. He has been, anyway. I mean, I never watched The Marine, but he's been decent in, like, bit roles. So, who knows?
Yeah, it's... I think it has... I mean, it definitely... Let's face it, it's going to be better than the 4 Transformers sequels. Obviously. I don't necessarily dislike Bay's first film. I think it's okay. Yeah. I don't think it's a terrible film. It's not like it didn't devolve into the level of absolute absurdity that all the sequels did.
Right.
But this film, I mean, this shows, I think, and we have to wait to see. We won't see until December, but I think, go back to what I said about Creed 2, character drama. It looks like that's exactly the kind of angle that they're attacking Bumblebee from. They're going to focus hardcore on the relationship between Bumblebee and, what's her name in the film? Watson. Something Watson.
Yeah.
Sam Watson, I think, maybe.
Yeah. And really, that's what I want in my action movies, is I want the story of a girl and her transforming car. That's what I want. That's all I'm asking for.
The action looks fantastic.
It really does.
We get to... And then, like, literally, you get to the final shots in the trailer, and you just get, like, legit old-school G1 Transformers, Optimus Prime, Soundwave, like, on Cybertron, like, and having, like, fighting the war. And it's like, can they just take this movie as, like, the kickoff point into a whole new Transformers franchise that just completely erases the old one from existence. Because this one looks like it has its heart in the right place, and it looks like it's approaching it from the right direction. It looks like it's going to focus more on the robots. I mean, she'll obviously be a prominent character in the film, but it looks like it's going to be more focused on the Transformers, which is something that I like.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, you know, I know this is a movie about transforming robots. I'm aware, you know, you don't have to throw it in my face that the premise is silly. You know, make it something good. Tell me a good story.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it doesn't have to have heart.
Exactly. That's just it.
No, that's what I think is the most important thing. So I want to move on from this trailer now. Oh boy, some of them start to get a little bit weaker, dicier. Space invasion. Let's get Captain Marvel out of the way. Captain Marvel's actually been out for a couple of weeks now, and we actually had not gotten a chance to talk about it on the show. I don't even know if I necessarily asked Justin what he thought of the trailer.
So you're not from around here?
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
Where do you land in terms of an MCU, in terms of a Marvel fan? Like, are you a fan of the MCU films? Are you somebody who's like comic book films? Nah. Or where do you land on that spectrum?
So I was a huge comic book guy growing up, and you know, being almost 40 now and seeing these movies actually done well has been pretty exciting for me over the past 10 years. So yeah, I'm a pretty avid fan of the MCU movies for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so this trailer, I don't want to say I dislike this trailer. I love Brie Larson. I adore her.
Yes.
And she's going to crush this character. And there's some amazing shots of her in this. The effects look just absolutely on point. It's Marvel. They're, of course, going to spend literally all of the money on this thing. Yeah. But I can't help but feel like, I don't know, a little underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I felt the same way. You know, I thought as I'm watching it, or after I watched it, I thought, you know, I'm more excited that this trailer exists than I am about what's actually in it. Like, I'm excited for the movie to come out, but what I saw in the trailer didn't, like, knock my socks off or anything.
And I think that this is kind of like Ant-Man and the Wasp almost suffered from the same kind of thing, where it's like Infinity War-itis.
Yep.
You know? Like, we all saw Infinity War.
Yeah.
Most people, by and large, even I loved it. You know, I mean, it's really, really good, and it's a culmination of a crazy thing. Like, you have to respect the amount of work, the long game that went into making that film. And it's a part one. Like, we all know that there's a part two coming, and it's really, like, we don't care about the stuff that comes in between, even though I loved Ant-Man and the Wasp. I really loved it.
I did, too.
But,
you know, I think the thing that helps Captain Marvel is that it was, you know, mentioned at the end of Infinity War. I'm assuming we're okay spoiling Infinity War at this point.
Yeah,
like with the pager having her symbol on it at the end of Infinity War, I think there's at least some intrigue there, whereas with Ant-Man and the Wasp, it was more like a standalone, and then at the very end,
he got one line just like written off, like, yeah, he's not in it because he's doing this.
He's on house arrest. So I think this feels like more of an Infinity War tie-in than Ant-Man and the Wasp did. But at the same time, you didn't really get the feel of, I think that's where what you brought up kind of comes into play with the trailers. You didn't really get the feel that it fits into the timeline by the trailer.
Yeah. And of course, we know it takes place in the 90s. She crash lands in a goddamn Blockbuster Video.
I worked at a Blockbuster Video.
I'm there. I'll be there opening day. I love Brie Larson. She's going to crush this role. And it's great. I will champion until the cows come home more females leading, especially big budget tent poles like this, because she's absolutely going to crush it. She's going to be amazing. I think she's going to steal the show in Infinity War 2 or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Yeah.
I really, really think it's going to be amazing. I don't know. Like, this trailer, like, I think I was just so excited maybe for this trailer that I was kind of like, about it when it finally hit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm more excited for the existence than the content, for sure, at this point.
Yeah. And speaking of meh, segues are just flowing tonight, baby. Over to on the other side of the comic book genre, the really, honestly, the swan song now for the, well, actually, New Mutants we still have technically before this Disney Fox merger goes through and basically the whole Fox X-Men universe is going to disappear before our very eyes like a finger snap,
which is mostly fine except for Logan.
I like the first X-Men. I like the second one.
Yeah.
Last Stand is garbage.
Yeah.
Origins, garbage.
Yep.
The Wolverine, eh.
Eh.
Logan, amazing. It's incredible. Yes. First Class, I really love.
Yeah, you're right. Days of Future Past,
I absolutely love.
Yeah, also good.
Apocalypse, one of the biggest pieces of shit I've seen in the past 5 years.
I guess it's that taste of Apocalypse in my mouth that made me forget about First Class and Future Past. But yeah, those are both very good.
She's all rage, pain, and it's all coming out at once.
Jean lost control, but she's still our friend.
This is your fault, Charles.
The world is on the brink.
I'm sorry I didn't stop it sooner.
You're always sorry, Charles, and there's always a speech, but nobody cares.
There's still hope. Don't do this.
They're right to fear me.
I've seen evil. And I'm looking at it now.
I got into a conversation with this about some people on Twitter when the Dark Phoenix trailer landed. Like, it's going to be sad once this franchise goes over to Marvel and they inevitably reboot it and get rid of all these characters, because say what you will about Fox's X-Men franchise, but one thing I think that they got very, very right in a lot of cases was casting for these characters. And
100%.
You look at James McAvoy as Xavier, Michael Fassbender as Magneto, the incredible work that they've done with the characters in this second X-Men like set of films now. You have Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart,
yeah,
in the first set. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, 17 years playing that character.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm nodding my head vigorously right now. It's great audio. Even in this movie, I mean, Sophie Turner as Dark Phoenix, as Jean Grey, is tremendous. I love Sophie Turner.
And see, and I know Justin was not hot on her at all.
No kidding.
In the last film, in Apocalypse, but I don't necessarily think that's her fault.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that one.
That film managed to waste Oscar Isaac, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Like, I don't necessarily blame her for that. The trailer sort of intrigues me, but the fact that this was booted wholesale to February, it was supposed to come out this year.
Yeah.
Actually, it was supposed to have come out, I think, in like October or something like that.
I think you're right. It was right around this time.
Yeah, it was right around this time. So this got booted to February. Why? Who knows?
Yeah.
So, are we going to get another Apocalypse? Simon Kinberg is directing this film. And Simon Kinberg has written, he's been the executive producer on the X franchise for a very long time. And he's written some of the entries, some of the good ones, and some of the bad ones. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I don't have a ton of hope for it, honestly, because of all the shifting and all that kind of stuff. But I hope it's not terrible, because this is actually a really good story. I mean, I actually read the graphic novel of the I was never a big X-Men guy, but I read this storyline and it's actually really good. So I'm hoping they can at least do something with it. But like you said, it's not promising at this point.
I'll need to see more from this film before I'm going to get like super, super hyped from it. It definitely seems to be giving us Last Stand vibes, but that's only because I think what's happening, because the timeline, of course, got reset with Days of Future Past. So I think we're seeing some of those kinds of same things just echo off of the old franchise. Like, but it's going to definitely hopefully put some interesting spins on it. As long as we don't have, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Can they get the Juggernaut from Deadpool 2 in this movie?
Seriously, that guy was awesome.
I'd be so fine with that. So fine with that. Speaking of which, did we talk about this? I can't even remember if we talked about it in the Patreon release segment, but we'll bring it up here really briefly. Christmas PG-13, Deadpool 2. What the fuck?
I don't understand it.
Who is it for?
That's the question. Is it for the 13-year-olds that really wanted to see Deadpool?
And then, let's face it, already have.
Right, exactly.
Like, who's it for? I don't understand who this movie's for at all. Whatsoever. I have no idea who this movie is for.
Did you see the format? Like, it's going to be like the storybook format where it's like...
Oh, I saw the Princess Bride scene. Yeah, where the Princess Bride Deadpool's kind of got like the book with Fred Savage. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If they can find some interesting thing to do with it, maybe. Like,
it
I don't know.
Like a long
shot. I really, but I mean, still, like, the movie opens with him fucking blowing himself up and his arm flies up, giving everybody a middle finger exactly. And shit. Like, how? Come on now. Like,
is it going to be 5 minutes long? Is it going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's.
Like X-Force, like the scene of X-Force of all the X-Force characters getting killed. And like, you're going to call all that. That's all going to, and that's like the best scene in the movie.
That was one of my favorite things this year was the X-Force thing.
Well, from there, we've only got a few trailers left to talk about. And I want to move over to this trailer because I'm interested to get your take on this because this is a trailer that I've seen a lot of people shitting on. I smiled a few times during the trailer. I didn't think it was necessarily a bad trailer, but I will say that I have faith in it because Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. I mean, you're bringing back Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly. This is a team that's been proven comedically in a couple of films now. Holmes and Watson, what was your take on this trailer?
Your Majesty, may I present to you the greatest detective of all time, Sherlock Holmes, and Dr. John Watson.
I love you.
Watson?
Oh!
Whew. What a looker, right?
She is stunning.
Sherlock Holmes. His methods are ingenious.
Right there.
He's a master of disguise.
What have you done with Sherlock? Why, Watson? I never left. Oh, amazing.
I thought it was pretty solid. I mean, you know, and like you said, it's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. So I will see anything that they team up for at this point. Even if they were to make three terrible movies in a row together, I would still go see the fourth in hopes that it would be good, you know? And here's the thing. Even if, like, 40 or 50 or 60% of it is bad, like, the other part is going to be, yeah, or has the chance to be really funny.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think this trailer is 100% a hit. I think
I agree.
A lot of the jokes in it don't necessarily land.
Yeah.
But, again,
but just the
interplay
between
proven.
The two of them. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that this is kind of, we've seen a lot of stuff with Sherlock Holmes, like TV, there's what, Elementary, and all this different stuff. You saw the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
So I love that this property is kind of still so forward in our minds that we can almost kind of take it in a spoof direction now, because that's really what this seems to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I love, like, my favorite scene of the trailer is where he's like, he's a master of disguise, and he literally just puts on the mustache and turns around. And John C. Reilly pulls his gun on him. He's like, what have you done with Sherlock? Like, I don't know. Like, that shit's funny to me. Like, that shit's, these guys are proven. Yeah. I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt based on their track record making comedies. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen a lot of people taking a big shit on it, though.
Yeah. I don't get that. Because, like, to me, they can do easy stuff like that with a mustache gag and make it great just because they are them, you know, just because of how they play off of each other. I think that's good stuff.
I don't know. I'm really, really interested to see it. This trailer actually just landed today as of recording day. The most recent trailer on our list. And this is the teaser trailer for Rocket Man. Taron Egerton, Eggsy, from the Kingsman films, is going to be playing Elton Goddamn John. And it's not necessarily a biopic, I don't think.
Yeah, it didn't seem
because
like
it's definitely it's like based on a 100% true fantasy.
Yeah,
there's that little tagline in the trailer, and I think they're definitely taking a more whimsical approach to it in a way. There's the one scene in the trailer where he's playing Rocket Man, and like all the audience is floating,
yeah,
like behind him. But I gotta say it, and I don't know if you agree or not, but I'm gonna say it, 100% looks the part, and dude's got Elton John's pipes, man.
Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not gone male, they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, I'm burning out, excuse your pain alone.
Yeah, if that was him singing, that was pretty impressive.
As far as I know, it was. That's what I've heard is that actually was Edgerton singing. And like, that's the kind of one difference, because the other big musical biopic that's coming this year is Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. But we haven't heard, I don't know if they're actually going to just do, we don't know yet whether or not Rami Malek's actually going to sing in the film, or if it's just going to be him lip syncing Freddie Mercury. But this, yeah. I'm like 95% sure that's Taron Egerton singing in the trailer, because I've read that when he went into audition for the role and they had him sing, or he utterly blew everybody away.
No kidding. Yeah, that's impressive, man, because the music sounded really good. I mean, the voice sounded really good in the trailer.
It sounds great, but to me, like, I'm a huge Elton John fan. It's definitely not Elton John.
Right.
It does not sound anything like Elton John. So that's why I was like, I mean, it sounds similar. It sounds close, and it sounds good enough for a film like this. I'm definitely not going to complain about it, but I could tell it wasn't Elton John.
Yeah, kind of similar to Jamie Foxx and Ray Charles.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I heard that he sounded really, really great, and I looks 100% the part.
No, I thought he looked great. I think the, like you said, he looks the part. The costume design was really good. I don't know if it's going to land with me personally. The fantasy biography thing doesn't really, it's not really up my alley. But, I mean, it looks like a quality endeavor, you know, either way.
It's an interesting way to approach it for.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it for anyone, it makes sense to do it for Elton John, you know?
It's very, very true. As long as it's better than Elton John's turn in Kingsman 2, The Golden Circle, we'll be okay. Motherfucking drop kicking a dude. He's like 80,000 years old.
At least. He's got to be pushing 90,000 at this point.
So that brings us to the final trailer on our list. And it's a trailer for a documentary that's going to be released, I think, the exact same day. I think it's the same day as The Other Side of the Wind, which is the final film from Orson Welles, whom I utterly adore and treasure. Filmed between somewhere like 1970 and 1975. He finished filming it, never finished editing it, left detailed, and I mean detailed, notes about the film. But then it languished because his estate, his daughter, and his mistress fought over it for like decades. Now finally seeing release in 2018. And this is a documentary called They'll Love Me When I'm Dead, about not only the making of the film, but I think about Welles' legacy as well.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah. I gotta get your take on this. Are you an Orson Welles guy? Are you not an Orson Welles guy?
The Other Side of the Wind is the crazy picture. It's not a work of fiction. It's a little of everything. It's kind of a departure in movie making.
Orson Welles was the ultimate independent filmmaker.
Somewhere between Zen master and God.
No other director has been held up to such an impossible standard.
Citizen Kane, the greatest motion picture ever made. Do you agree?
No, certainly not. That's my next one is, though.
Could you give us the title of that?
I haven't decided what it is yet.
Oh.
The Other Side of the Wind, what is that?
Orson Welles' last movie.
Everything else I've ever done has been controlled, but I want to go further.
It's a story of the last day of the director's life.
The darling of Hollywood, who fell out of favor.
Wait a minute, that's Orson. Is it? Orson, is that you?
Everybody will think it's autobiographical, but it's not.
Yeah, bullshit.
So it's funny because Dan and I actually talked about this last night when we were recording for Netflix and Swill. And, you know, you may kick me off the show at this point, but I've never seen Citizen Kane. I have seen The Third Man, I didn't really like it. I don't know if it was because I wasn't in the mood for it and I need to give it another shot. I probably do. But it didn't really land with me for some reason.
Orson Welles is in like 10 minutes of The Third Man at the end.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
So that's not really, and he didn't direct that film, so it's not necessarily his fault if that's not a good movie.
Yeah, so that's my only, you know, I have very limited Orson Welles experience, but I know there's, you know, a very devoted fan community, so there's got to be something there.
The one line that stands out for me in the trailer is where they're asking him if Citizen Kane's the best movie ever made, and he says no, but the one I'm about to make is. And then they ask him what it is, and he's like, I haven't made it yet.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I do love movies about making movies, so I'm definitely going to check this one out.
But the best thing about this is it's a movie about making a movie, and The Other Side of the Wind is simultaneously, it's the last night of a director's life, and during the film, they're screening, like, he's fighting in the film, The Other Side of the Wind. The director is trying to fight to get his film made. And meantime, they're showing portions of that film within the film. So it's going to be a documentary on the making of a film within a film within a film. It's going to be, this is fucking the inception of.
It's very much Inception-like.
Whatever.
It's movie Inception. I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I love Orson Welles. I utterly adore the man. He was a fucking genius, but I can't wait for Other Side of the Wind. The trailer for that looks just fucking balls out insane. Yeah. It switches the aspect ratio constantly because you're going from like the 4:3 letterbox for the actual film within the film, but then you're going widescreen for the actual film. And I can't wait to see it. I have not read anything about it coming out of festivals. I know people at festivals have seen it, but I'm trying to avoid like literally anything until I can get my hands on it.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really interested in this film as a companion piece to it, because you can definitely look at it as a parallel to Orson Welles' life, because this is what he always had to do. He had to fight a lot to get pictures financed. This film was in production for 5-6 years, because what Orson Welles often had to do is he'd film some stuff, he'd do some stuff, and then he'd run out of money.
Right.
And then he'd have to go act in stuff, do voiceover gigs, do commercials, do whatever to make money. And then he'd film some more. And then he'd have to, like, that was literally his fucking career.
That is nuts.
His career.
That is nuts.
And it's insane to think of when you watch some of the films that he made, and, you know, even like Magnificent Ambersons, which was his follow-up to Citizen Kane, which is brilliant. Brilliant. Got butchered to shit by the studio. His cut of the movie is gone forever. We'll never, ever see it. Ever. But even what was left of it after the studio fucking butchered it is amazing.
Mm.
So it's crazy to think that after 40 plus years, Other Side of the Wind is finally going to get released. And I don't know. I'm really interested in viewing the documentary here as kind of a companion piece to it.
Yeah.
To see, like, they talk about that in the trailer where, you know, this is autobiographical. And Welles is like, no, it's not. It's not all autobiographical. And then there's that one line. I think it's from Other Side of the Wind, where I think it's like John Hutton saying bullshit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I definitely think there's definitely that tinge of it in there, because it's kind of, I mean, the parallels are like just uncanny.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really ignore them. And so 7 trailers in epic previews. Please, please, please check out all these trailers and let us know which of these films you are looking forward to the most. We post most of them over to the Facebook page. I've already seen a lot of people reacting to some of these different trailers. Creed 2, everybody's in love with.
Oh.
Bumblebee, people are in love with. Most of the rest of this stuff, eh. Rocketman was kind of divisive. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Now, it might be kind of your case. It might be where your mileage may vary, but just the material itself just doesn't appeal to you.
Right.
I want to thank Sean for being here. Again, stories of your and yours. Again, remind us one more time where we can find you on the web.
Yeah, easiest way to find me is at SYY Podcast on any social media platform, or at least anyone that anyone's on. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I am there. You can hit me up anytime. And new episode drops this Wednesday, H.P. Lovecraft, 5 Pieces. If you like horror, or if you like literature, or if you don't like either of those things, if you don't like anything, you're going to like this show. I don't care what you like.
The link to your feed and everything else is going to be down in the show notes, so please, please, please check that out. And please check out the show. I can't wait to do so myself. Like I said, I've got some episodes lined up in my queue. And again, you come very highly recommended from Dan. And I love Dan. Dan's a very good friend of mine, so I will trust his judgment. And then I'll probably be on Twitter and be like, fuck you, Dan, this show sucks. You lied to me. I hate you. I hope you die.
You trust Dan at your own risk is all I'm saying.
That's basically what it is.
No, I appreciate you having me on the show, man. I've really enjoyed it.
That is going to do it for the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very, very much for listening. Remember, find the Epic Film Guys everywhere. www.epicfilmguys.com. Every social media platform at Epic Film Guys. Find us on literally every podcatcher under the sun. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify. Literally everywhere you can find amazing, amazing podcasts. A huge, huge thank you again to Sean for joining us here on the show. Thank you all very, very much for listening, and we will see you at the movies.